a great primetime team. Welcome, everyone, to our last message of this primetime series. Man, I've just been enjoying this. We've talked about so many things in this series, and I haven't given you much answers. I've challenged you with a lot of things. I've challenged you with taking an inventory of who you are and where you're going to go. I've challenged you to ask yourself questions like, what's going to happen when everything is done? What are you going to put on your tombstone, your epitaph? What is that priority thing that you need to concentrate and revolve your life around? What are those things? I'm challenging you with these questions. Today's message will be the most important of all. And that is taking that step. You see, folks, we can have all the best laid plans in life. We can have a lot of good intentions. We can know where we think we're going to go. But if we don't take that step, it'll remain these daydreams. It'll remain nothing more than good intentions. We'll be talking about taking that step forward. How do we do that? What do we do use to process it? You know, sometimes I think we resist taking that step forward because it causes us to be uncomfortable. And we don't like to be uncomfortable. It causes maybe us to have to change, and we don't want to change. It causes us to have to take a risk, and we're not great risk takers. See, if we stand at the edge of where God wants us to go, to enter into prime time, and He asks us to take a step off the stage, we don't want to go there because what if I fall down? What if I fail? And so we remain on this side of the equation and never get to enter into the best that God has for you. How many of you would agree that God still has the best plan still yet ahead for your life? Still yet ahead. Yeah, they're still there. But you got to be willing to walk into that. You know, I think the worst thing in life is for someone to not be able to discover their own destiny. But what's even worse is where a person knows what that destiny is, but can't take that step forward. Is hesitant to move into where God needs them to be. God has the best plans for you, but you got to take that step forward. And I love reading about that in the book of Joshua. In the Bible, there's a story about the Israelites. They had been wandering around for a while, and the Lord says, enough wandering. It's time for you to move on. And so I'm going to give you the promised land, but you got to cross something. Remember what they had to cross? They had to cross a river called Jordan. And that river was not a Nuwano stream. It wasn't where you would just trickle down and you could walk on the rocks to get across. This river, Jordan, was about a mile wide. And at the time, the Lord said to them, to move across, that river was raging. It was harvest season. It was overflowing its banks. Can you get a picture in your mind of that? This thing is just flowing, man. And God says to Joshua, tell your priests to take the ark, in other words, the word of God, take that and cross the Jordan. In fact, look at what he says here. In Joshua chapter 3, the Lord says to Joshua to command the priests. He says, command them to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. This river is raging, folks. It is going full blast, overflowing the banks. And they're supposed to what? Stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua says, tell the priests that when their soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. In other words, Joshua, if your priests listen to what I'm asking of them, if your priests are willing enough to step their feet into this raging river, regardless of what the circumstances may seem like, if they're willing to step into that river, a miracle will happen in their lives. And you will witness one of the greatest miracles ever. Now, if you were one of the priests, and Joshua says, thus saith the Lord, take your feet and stick it into that river. You see that river? Yeah, it's overflowing the bank. Never mind. Never mind that you might, you know, step in there and drown. But the Lord says, step your feet in that river. If you were a priest and you heard that, what would you say to Joshua? Joshua, you've been taking something at night that we should know of? Is something like missing upstairs? You see that river? That is completely nuts. There's no way I would step into that river. You want to step into the river? You go. But I ain't going to go. I'm going to stay safely on this riverbank, folks. You know, but not these priests. They listened to what Joshua said. And in fact, as they step into that river, we're going to see what happened. Top of your notes, let's read that scripture together out of Joshua chapter 3. Ready? Go. And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap. You know, that water did not raise up in one heap where they stepped in. You know what historians say and what the Bible says? It stood up 20 miles away. That river stopped 20 miles away from where they stood. A miracle happened. Do you think that's a miracle? That's a huge miracle. Yeah, I kind of wondered, why did God put this Jordan between the people and the promise? Why didn't God make it a little easier to cross over? Why didn't the Lord say, you know, Joshua, there's this great river flowing, but just as I commanded Noah to build an ark, go ahead and build a boat to carry across the people. No, God didn't say that. Why didn't God say, all right, Joshua, I command you, you can cut down those timber and build a bridge so you can walk over the river. Why did God say walk through the river? I think God knew that the faith they would have developed by crossing over this raging river would have carried them for the rest of their lives. See, folks, there's a miracle waiting for you on the other side. How many of you could use a miracle in your life right now? There's a miracle waiting for you in prime time, in the promised land. But you gotta be willing to get your feet wet. You gotta be willing to step into a circumstance where the world may say it is nuts, it's crazy. But you gotta be willing to step into that. There will never be a testimony without a test, folks. There will never be a resurrection without a crucifixion. There will never be a victory without a battle. And God says, there is a promised land waiting for you, but there is also a Jordan that I want you to step into. What is that for you? I can't tell you what that is. You know what that is. Maybe it's your job or career change or something financial involved or your family or your marriage. There's something there that's keeping you from crossing over, and the Lord is saying you need to be able to cross over. Well, how do we do that? We're going to talk about that. How do we move across? When do we move over there? We're going to talk about that. So I can't tell you when. That's between you and God. I can't tell you what that promise is. That's between you and God. But I can equip you with some tools. I've given you some throughout this series. Today I'm going to give you some questions that you need to ask yourself. Whenever you come to these moments in life, you need to ask yourself these questions. Starts with number one, ask yourself this. Is it wise? Very simple question. Is it wise to take action now? We all want to make wise decisions, don't we? We don't want to make unwise decisions. Well, we got to figure out what is wise. Where does wisdom come from? The Bible tells us. Would you read with me what Proverbs 6 says? Ready? Go. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice, equity and every good course. Underline the phrase, his godly ones. Those are the ones that the Lord talks to. Those are the ones that he speaks to. He preserves the way of his godly ones. They're the ones. It's to the godly ones that God will grant discernment in order to discern between what is righteous and what is unrighteous. It's to the godly ones that God will give you discernment to determine what is just and unjust, what is wise and unwise. It's to the godly ones. Look at this other scripture. Psalm 37. It's not in your notes. Would you write that down somewhere? It's going to come up here on PowerPoint. The Lord says in Psalm 37, the Lord directs the steps of the who? Godly. He delights in every detail of who? The godly ones. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds the godly by the hand. It's to the godly ones that God will guide along the way. It's to the godly ones that he'll speak words of guidance. He'll give you words of discernment. He'll enter into your heart. It's to the godly ones. So what does that mean for us, folks? It means we got to develop a godly relationship with him. We need to pursue a godly relationship with him. Not just on Sundays, on a daily basis. Because wisdom is imparted to those who are godly. See, it's almost like the Lord is saying, if you want me to speak to you, if you want me to give you instructions for your lives, then the responsibility is on your side to open yourself up so I can talk to you, so I can give you advice, so that you can receive what it is. Otherwise, if he's giving advice to someone who is ungodly, they won't even understand it. They won't understand whether or not he's speaking to them. And the Lord is saying, if you want that from me, then develop a godly discipline in your life. Well, what am I talking about? We talk a lot about doing our daily devotions here. Reading the Bible on a daily basis, journaling what God may be saying. That's where you can find wisdom, folks. Guys will always come to me and they ask for wisdom. They ask for advice. Give me advice for my marriage. Can you talk to me about my business? Can you give me advice? Tell me what God is saying for my life. You know what I asked him? The very first question I asked him, are you doing your devotions? Because if you're not seeking the Word of God, how can you understand what I may be giving to you? See, a lot of times, folks, wisdom is not found in what God is saying, although God does speak to us, God does communicate with us. Wisdom isn't necessarily found in what God is saying, it's found in what God has already said. Right here in the Bible, God has said everything we need to know on how to live our lives correctly, on the guidance that we need for our lives. He's already said it here. And why not discover what God has already said? Where does that come? It comes from a daily pursuit of him. That's why I encourage you to start your daily devotions if you haven't done so, especially if you have little children. What better time to impart wisdom into their lives? That when they're young and they know how to read and write, start them in their daily devotions. We have a little children's journal where they can read 2 or 3 verses a day, and they can write down exactly what they think God is saying to them. And they can use that as a lesson for their life. I have my little son, Jared. He's just turned 8. He's already completed 2 journals, books of journals. He does it every day. We say, you cannot watch TV. You can't play with your DS. You can't play with your Wii game until you do your daily devotions. And so he'll sit there and he'll do it. And, you know, is he a perfect kid? Not by a long shot. He is always into all kinds of trouble. But he's starting the process of building a foundation. I had him come out, you know, yesterday he was here. Today he had a football game and just about done now. But he came out last night at the 5 o'clock service to share one of his devotions. I want you to see what he said. Take a look at this.
Excuse me.
So I wanted him to come on and just share a little journal with you that he wrote. Is that okay? Can you read this one, Jared? Here you go. Okay, read the scripture and then read your observation and application and prayer. Okay? Try.
Job 17:19. The righteous keeps moving forward, and those with clean hands come stronger and stronger. When I do right things, I'll get stronger and stronger. I need to do right things in school and home. Dear God, help me to do the right thing. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Good job. Let me hold on. Okay. If you didn't catch what he said Job 17 says, the righteous keeps moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. When I do the right things, I get stronger and stronger. I need to do the right things in school and at home. Dear God, help me to do the right things. Amen. Is that wisdom?
Yeah.
I think he got a little seed of wisdom there, planted in his soul. Is he perfect? Not by a long shot. Are we perfect, even though we do our journals? Not by a long shot. But we're trying. We're trying to open ourselves up so when God has a word for us, he has a place to deposit that word. And I say, start now. Especially if you have young kids. You can go out and pick up one of these journals outside. It's a little children's journal. It's very simple. If you as an adult haven't started, start with this one. It's very simple, really. I have a lot of adults I know. They start with this one because it's non-threatening. And it gives you at least a starting line. where you begin to understand and try to understand what God may be saying to you based on what he's already said. Now imagine this, folks. You know, with the election and politics and candidates and, you know, we don't know who is who. You hear news and people saying, well, no, he's the righteous one. Oh, no, he's not the righteous one. We hear all of this talk going on. Imagine if we started our kids today doing their devotions where God is imparting wisdom into their lives every day. By the time they're 30s and 40s and running for office, we won't even have to worry about who we choose because they will be godly men and women. Where did it start? Back here, where we started our kids doing their devotions, hearing what word God has for their lives. See, when you allow the word of God to become a part of your life, you'll begin to understand that he's already implanted a plan into your hearts. You already have it. I know we search for that. Lord, what is the plan for my life? Where do you want me to go? What did the Lord say in Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He has those plans. It's already in your heart. Wisdom is discovering what they are and now aligning our lives, our desires with those plans. When you can do that, the Lord says, that's a wise man, that's a wise woman, that's a wise decision, because now we're aligning ourselves with him. Where does that start? From breaking open the Word of God daily and developing that relationship with him. But we get confused, don't we? We get confused with what that plan is. Why? Because many times it's our plans that get in the way. It's our desires that overshadow what God may have for us. And so if you're really seeking wisdom, folks, you got to ask yourself this next question. Fill that bullet point in there. Are my motives pure? If you're really seeking wisdom from God, from above, you need to scrub your heart from anything that's only going to benefit you. Scrub your heart from what you want to do versus what the Lord may want you to do. It says that in James 3. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. See, what the Lord is saying is that if you want wisdom, you got to scrub out the junk on the inside. Anything that is of you and your plans and your desires, it's not going to mix with my plans. If you want wisdom from above, spiritual wisdom, the spirit and the flesh will never mix with one another. And the Lord says, if you want to receive the spiritual, you got to get rid of the flesh. It takes time to scrub that out. It takes time sitting before the Lord. Otherwise, we make decisions based on our feelings. Number two, would you write this in? The question is, you got to ask yourself, when you're contemplating making a move, is ask yourself, are you following my feelings or are you following my faith? Big difference. See, feelings are circumstantially based. And when circumstances change, our feelings change. And the direction of our lives will change. You got to know what you're following. You got to know who you're following. Otherwise, you'd be like this lady. This lady who was caught in a snowstorm in Colorado. She's trying to make her way to Denver, but the storm was just so, the blizzard conditions were so bad, she couldn't see in front of her. Well, she faintly saw this snowplow taking a road there, and so she went behind the snowplow and stayed as close as she could behind it, hoping that that snowplow would lead her to Denver. Well, that snowplow turned to the right, so she went to the right. Turned to the left, she went to the left. It made a U-turn, she made a U-turn. He made another U-turn, she made a U-turn. Finally, he stopped the truck. Driver got out, went up to her window and said, lady, can I ask you where you're going? She said, I'm going to Denver. He said, you're not going to get to Denver following me. I'm just trying to clear this playground of all this snow. And she's following the wrong person the whole time. And sometimes we follow our feelings. And we wonder, why are we getting so confused when our feelings change? Well, maybe it's because, see, feelings are based on your circumstances. For example, you're going out with this guy, and the guy says, okay, well, I think it's time to get married. Really? Yeah, don't you feel the love coming from me? I really love you, honey. So she said, well, okay, well, if you feel that way, and I feel the love for you, sugar booger, and so let's get married. And so you get married based on feelings alone. Guess what happens, folks? When the honeymoon is over, hey, old lady, can you get me my beer from the icebox? And then you say, oh, I don't love this guy anymore. My feelings have changed. Why? Because circumstances changed. See, when we live our lives by our circumstances, by feelings, you never get anywhere. You're following the wrong thing. Faith is not based on your feelings. Faith is not centered on circumstances. Faith is based upon your relationship with God. And the closer you build your relationship with Him, the stronger your faith will be. If you live your life according to feelings, you won't be willing to take risks when God is asking you to take a risk. When it gets nonsensical, when it doesn't make sense to you, when you get confused with choices, you don't want to take the risk because you're living your life according to feelings. You'd be like this Japanese guy came in from Japan. You know, his friend said, you're going to Hawaii, you got to learn how to order a meal, otherwise you're going to starve to death. Even though you don't speak English, learn these three words: hamburger, french fries, Coke. And so he says, hamburger, french fry, Coke. Okay, that's good. Go to Hawaii. Have a good time. Aloha, aroha. Okay, so he comes to Hawaii. And for every meal, he goes to the same restaurant, he sees the same waitress. And whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, he sits there and he says, hamburger, french fry, Coke. And she would bring him the hamburger, french fry, Coke. Well, this goes on for 2 weeks. And finally, he's sitting there, and the waitress says, do you want anything else? You keep ordering the same thing. He says, yeah, hamburger, french fry, Coke. She goes, you don't want to try something like maybe bacon, eggs, and toast? He goes, oh, hi, bacon, eggs, toast. She goes, okay, how do you want your eggs? Over easy, scrambled, sunny side up. How do you want your bacon? We have non-fat, we have Canadian bacon. How do you want your toast? We have wheat, we have white, we have rye. He goes, oh, hamburger, french fry, Coke. You know, he was so confused that he wasn't willing to take that risk. And sometimes God is saying, no, don't live your life according to your feelings. As you draw closer to me, says the Lord, you will understand that I will guide you. And my word will be that which will guide you along the way. It says that in the Bible. Let's read together what it says in Proverbs there. Ready? Go. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. See, God's word is more than just words that we read through. God's words are a guide for you. And when you press in close to Him and you begin to develop that relationship with Him, you'll understand how He'll try to guide you along the way. And then you can take that step regardless of what the circumstances may be. You may not know what the results will be. You know, we like things to be very perfect before we take the step. We want to be comfortable. We want to analyze everything. And if everything adds up, when all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, that's when we make the move. But God may be saying, when you're faithful, although it may not make sense, and I want you to cross that raging river, are you willing to step into the river? Faith, folks, would you fill in this bullet point? Faith is stepping out even if the results aren't 100% guaranteed. Even if the circumstances dictate otherwise, faith will empower you forward. It's not waiting for the waters to part before you step forward. It's not waiting until everything is just right and the results are guaranteed before you step forward. That's not faith. And that's why the priests were willing to step into that river even though the water was still raging. That's why Daniel was willing to step into the lion's den. Did he know what the results were going to be? They weren't guaranteed. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, we will step into that fiery furnace because our God will protect us. Well, what if he doesn't? Even if he does not, O king, we will still step into that furnace. We don't care if the results aren't guaranteed. We know our God will be there. Why? Because of their faith. They developed a godly relationship. And even if they were to fall, says Psalm 37, God will be there to pick them up. They weren't afraid of taking that step forward. You know, folks, everyone's life has a different set of circumstances.
what race God has called you to run, what decision you need to make, is something that you need to discuss with the Lord. But there will be consequences. And before you make any move, you need to ask yourself this last question. Are you willing to live with those consequences? Are you willing to accept what the consequences may be, whatever they may be? In other words, take your time. You know, we're talking about a lot of things in this series, but take your time. Don't rush into a decision. The Bible says that in Proverbs 16. It says, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than conquer a city. Take your time, folks, to sort through everything. Take your time to do what? To pray, to draw yourself close to the Lord, maybe to start doing your devotions, to develop a discipline, start to get godly counsel. Take your time to talk to some friends, godly friends, who will allow you to at least look at what the consequences may be. And then when you make that move, you got to say to yourself, I'm willing to accept it. Whatever the consequences are, I'm willing to accept it. I'm willing to live by them. Proverbs 22 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You know, when I look at it back at my life, and just in this last 10 years alone, between my wife Joy and myself, God asked us to take three major steps. One was to leave the bench, of course. It was a major step. The other was adopting Jared, you know, although our combined age was over 100, and I won't say who pushed us over the 100, but our combined age was over 100. And then the third was Joy actually quitting work when she had put in over 30 years of service, and she was like 18 months away from retirement. She decided to quit work and stay home and take care of this little boy. Those are three major rivers we had to cross. And when I look back upon it, I tried to glean what are some of the common denominators that we had to face and what did we process through that may help you as you're processing through some things. I think one thing we learned was the definition of the word trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has become now our life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all, with everything you got. Trust, trust, trust. You know, as I did my devotions, as I started pressing into God, every devotion, I'll show you my Bible, what I was using at that time, in every margin, it has trust, trust, trust. God didn't tell us. God didn't tell me, you're going to quit work, you're going to get on staff at a church, you're going to be one of the pastors, etc. He didn't say anything like that. Everything that I had from Him, that I gleaned from Him, was trust, 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 trust. I had to learn how to trust in Him with all that I had. And lean not on your own understanding. See, my way of thinking is to analyze. You know some of the worst people in the world? I say this very lightly. Chinese professionals. Because everything got to line up for them. They're very analytical. At least I was. Has to all line up, A plus B equals C. So when I go to the store and buy something, I got to count my change. I got to make sure I got all my change because everything has to line up. So here I am trying to figure out this God step that He's asking me to take. And I'm trying to analyze everything. And it's almost like the Lord is saying, would you knock it off? If you're going to trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, then let me handle this. I took Pastor Wayne out to lunch. I wanted to know, Pastor Wayne, you give me the godly wisdom. You're such a smart Portuguese man that I want to glean the best wisdom from you. And I value your wisdom so much, I'll take you out to the best lunch ever, all right? So here's a one-ton min. Now, you can tell me, as you're eating your lunch, tell me, how do I know when I should take this step? And he said to me, well, you'll know. And he kept eating his lunch. I said, Pastor Wayne, now tell me again. I want an analytical process. Give me the formula. Tell me, this is a very good lunch. I don't even buy lunch for my wife. I'm buying lunch for you. Now you tell me. And he kept saying, oh, you'll know. Oh, and you'll know. And you know what? He was right. I knew. When that time came to make that decision, I knew. But I had to leave. I had to scrub my heart out. I had to scrub everything of me out of the equation. And when God began to impart that wisdom in me as to when to take that step, I knew. How did I know? Well, we learned trust and we learned peace. That no matter what the world was screaming at us, don't do it. You're crazy to do that. You're going to drown if you do that. You know what our Jordan was? Our Jordan River was financial security. By me leaving my job there, and then later on by us adopting Jared, and then Joy quitting her work without any promise of retirement, that was a major Jordan. But it's almost like the Lord says, no, no, no. I'm asking you to step out. Are you willing to step into that river? There had to be a peace in our hearts. And every night when we went to bed, we would say to each other, we're going to pray, okay, we're going to pray. And every morning, exactly, verbatim, we'd look at each other and we'd say, what did God say? And all we'd say was, we just feel a sense of peace. There was a peace that the world cannot understand. There's a peace that passes all understanding. The world was screaming at us, don't step in that river. You worked your whole life to get to that place of being a judge on the bench, and you're going to leave that to get paid what? You know when I left the bench, the judges just got their raises, and you see what they're getting paid now? Phew. Don't remind me of what they're getting paid now. But they're getting paid all this. And when I met with Pastor Wayne, I said, you know, Pastor Wayne, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know the Lord is trying to move me into ministry. I'm ready to rip out my heart. I'll scrub toilets. I'll drive a truck. I'll sweep the floor, whatever it is. There was no guarantee for me. I had no idea what I was going to be doing. Pastor Wayne didn't know what I was going to be doing. He still doesn't know what I do. But, you know, we had this discussion going on. And he writes a number for me. Folds it over. He slips it to me. He said, Elwin, that would be your salary. I opened it up, and I wanted to throw up. I looked at this. It was so insulting after all the schooling I'd done. But the Lord says, time to move on. It's a huge Jordan River that we had to cross over. You know, Joy, she wanted Jared. He was the only child that she wanted. I say, well, what if we send in all this money and they don't match us up with this one child? Because in China, you can't choose. They got to match you. Well, she said, well, I don't want him then. I say, what do you mean you don't want him? I just wrote a check for like $15,000 and I sent it to this outfit in Kentucky that we'd never met before. So if we don't get Jared, we need to take another child. She goes, no, I don't want another child. I said, then we're going to lose the money. She said, well, then lose the money. I said, wait, you married a Chinese, remember? I cannot walk away from money. We got to take one child at least. She says, no, I don't want it. There was no guarantee. She says, no, I want that child. And you know, folks, the day that we stepped into the water, when we knew that God was calling me away from the bench, the day that I met with the Chief Justice and the governor and their public relations officer, that day that they're cutting the press releases, is going to be posted in the newspapers about this judge. How many judges do you know of have stepped off the bench within 2 years of retirement to get into a ministry that pays you like half the amount that you were making before? How many of you know of a judge like that? I know of judges who have retired and got into the ministry. It is completely insane to do that. Yes, I am insane. I'm an insane person standing in front of you right now. It doesn't happen like that. But the day that it happened, the day that we stuck our feet into the water, I get a call from a friend. He says, check your email. This Uku billionaire on the mainland heard the news. And he wrote, I heard the good news, Elwin. There's 1,000 judges in the world. There's only one new hope. Let me contribute from my foundation a sum that's going to help you with your transition. What he contributed and where we were short because of the drop in pay matched to the penny. Is that a miracle or what? See, when we stepped into the water, miracles happened. With Jared, the day we said, okay, we're going to go. I'm going to write this check, honey. I love you, baby. And I wrote this check. The day that we sent it in, they told us it would take between 18 months to 24 months before we get a child. The day we sent it in, within 9 months of that day, Within 9 months, like a regular pregnancy, we got a call and China said, that boy you wanted, he's yours. A miracle. The day, in fact, there was a lot of pushback. He was 3.5 years old. He rejected her a lot the first few months. One morning as I was getting breakfast prepared, he comes out of his room. Joy was on the floor stretching out. He's 3.5 years old. Didn't speak English that well. But he came out and he said to her, Mommy, I want to be born. She said, born. He says, yeah, Mommy, I want to be born. He crawled under her nightgown, kind of rolled around, and came out. And the day that he did, it bonded their relationship. They became mother and child. She picked him up, held him. We gave him a baby bottle. But it, a miracle happened right before our eyes. You know, with Joy and quitting work and not having the retirement and all that, you know, I shared that in one of our services way back then. That week, this woman calls me and she says, you know, Pastor Aaron, I was in your service and I work for the retirement system. I said, oh. She said, do you mind if I check Joy's records? I said, yeah, go ahead. She ran, she called me back. She said, you know, your wife signed up for this plan where she actually has retirement. She qualifies for retirement. And today she's receiving retirement checks. See, we would not have known that. We made that whole decision not knowing what the consequences are going to be, but we were willing to live with that. But because we were willing to step into the water, these miracles start to happen. You know, folks, we would not have realized the promise. I think we would have been okay with God. I think God would still be okay with us, but we would have missed the miracles. We would have missed stepping into the promise that God has for us. You know, Jared is just such a miracle. I hope you don't mind I talk about him because he refocuses my life as to what's important. I took him to the UH-USC game, and we had like one of the best seats in the house, 40-yard line, the blue section. And I took him there because I wanted to learn, you know, what linebackers do and all that. So we're watching. I say, watch this guy, Jared. You see this play right there? You see that tackle? You're a good technique. You see what he did? He looks at me and he says, when can we get garlic fries? Pay attention to the game. Okay, you see the next play, and the next play is done. You know what he asked me? I thought they're cheerleaders over here. But he really brought me back to focus on life itself. Miracles. Folks, miracles are waiting for you. God's best plans are waiting on the other side of the Jordan. What is that Jordan that you're facing? Press in close. Develop that relationship with the Lord so when He speaks, you can hear Him. God will speak to the godly ones. He will preserve the godly ones. He will give direction to the godly ones. Press into that relationship with Him. And when He says to go, even though the world says no, are you willing to go based on your faith? When you do, miracles will happen. I've given you a lot in this series, and I hope you take it to heart. Again, don't feel that you got to make these decisions right away. Take your time. Take it one step at a time and watch and see what God will do in your lives. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God, for the series that we've gone through and just the messages that you've spoken through to our hearts, Father. Thank you for your word and the promises that are so true that we will stand upon. Father, we've witnessed that in so many ways. Through our own lives, through the lives of others, through the testimonies of those who have walked before us. May we, Father, now begin to apply those lessons to our lives and walk in a wise way, not based on our feelings, but according to our faith. Help us to develop that relationship with you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you, you may be here for the first time or you haven't yet decided to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. Let me give you a chance. With no one looking around and your eyes closed, can I ask you to put your thoughts of the future aside and think of one decision and one alone, and that is to open up your heart to Jesus Christ. See, by doing so, He will be your guide. You don't have to rely on the world anymore. He will show you the way. He will give you words that will guide you in every decision you make. But it begins with you first opening up your heart. If that's you and you want to say, yeah, I don't want to live my life the way I've lived before. I want to live my life according to you, Jesus. I don't know much about you, but I want to start that relationship with you. Let us start today. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? You're saying, yeah, that's me. Yeah, go ahead. Right there, sister. Good. Yeah, in the front here. Good. In the middle there. Yeah, keep your hands up so the Lord can see your hearts. He wants to speak to your hearts. Right there, sister. Yeah. Side here. In the back there. Yeah, a lot of hands here. Good, sister. Right there. God sees your hearts. Side here. And the back here. Back there on top. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I've been pondering some decisions, but Lord, I want to take that step, but I need some courage. Would you help me, Father, to take that step in my marriage or my life, whatever that may be? Lord, give me wisdom from above. Let me scrub my heart out, but would you give me that wisdom to move forward with my life? If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? You see, yeah, I need that. Good. Yeah, a lot of us. You can put your hands down. If you just said yes to Jesus for the first time, we have a yes packet for you. It's completely free. There's a Bible in there, some material that's going to help you to understand your relationship with Him. As you exit the auditorium, someone will be holding up a yes packet. Go pick one up. We'd love to celebrate this day with you. Before we go, can we say this prayer together? I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Help me to be wise in the decisions that I make. Help me to be all that you want me to be. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.
So
Let's all stand as we conclude. The great series, we look forward to the next one. Next week, we'll be at Bishop Museum, and weekend services will be here. Anniversary celebration, we'll also have communion. If you look in the magazine that just came out, it says communion in October. It'll actually be in 2 weeks. So we'll have communion here in 2 weeks. We'll have water baptism. Then we'll start a brand new series in October. And it's going to be about, if God is so real, then why do we have these problems that we face in the world? It'll be a great series if you have friends that are questioning those kind of things. Why is there still suffering? Why is there still children, getting killed and stuff? We're going to cover those topics in this next series in October. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, oh God, for just the wisdom that we receive from you. Help us, Lord, to now apply that to our lives and live differently than when we came in. We want to walk in prime time with you, Lord. Would you lead the way? We will follow. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say together, amen. Amen. Would you seal that to your heart with a clap? You have a great week. Loving someone as you go.